Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Rev and Reach, where Pop Speed Digital Marketing pulls back the curtain and shares what we do to help our customers and our clients get ROI from their digital marketing efforts. Now, today, we're going to dig into something that's not digital, because all digital all the time might not be your best option. In-person events are still a really good thing. And I just pulled some data before we start the podcast today to kind of give us a little bit of a feeling of what that is like. 37% of in-person event marketers say in-person delivers the highest ROI of any marketing channel, and that trade shows specifically deliver about $20.98 for every $1 spent. Crazy, right? And 80% of organizations actually say they see a lot of ROI from virtual events. So ROI might be measured differently depending on what you're doing, but events and in-person connection is still really important in marketing. So today, my guest is Nicole LaPointe from GatherPoint, and we're going to talk about the value of getting together in person instead of constantly doing everything virtual. Getting out networking in person is important, but also hosting events for people is important to marketing. So, hi, Nicole. Hi. Everybody about yourself.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Nicole Point, and I own GatherPoint. We are a corporate event agency, and we help clients plan in-person events. That is what we do. We like to say we're an extension of the team so that the client can work on high-level things and we can do the dirty work and get all the logistics for you and any speaker relations and sponsor relations you have. And we do everything with a smile and with a white glove attitude.
Love that. So, Nicole, in a world of Zoom live streams and direct messages, why do people still show up for live events?
Oh, I think that, to be honest, I think that COVID really terrified people. Right now, live events are not getting any budget cuts. They might be making their budget smaller, but nobody has actually cut the budget when it comes to live events. There are still plenty of trade shows going on. There are still plenty of people planning conferences and book launches, and everybody still wants to be in person. And I think that happened because everyone was like, oh my gosh, never again. Never again am I going to be so isolated from the world
Yes.
that I can't network with somebody or I can't do face-to-face business with them.
Yep. I like to say that we are biological beings pretending to be intellectual beings.
And, I like
right?
that.
Yep. And as so biological true. Beings, we are drawn to connection. And to seeing each other in person is such a stronger connection than seeing each other on a computer, right?
I agree.
It's huge. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I was on a call a while ago. This must be, oh my God, it could be 20 years ago, but I'll never forget it. Because the guy said, think about five people you talked to yesterday. Give me a list of five people you talked to yesterday. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I'm just waiting. No, really. He keeps saying, make a list. So he knew. He was reading our minds, knowing that we weren't really going to do it. Not kidding. Write the list. And he gave us 5 minutes and made us write this list. And the list, what his point was your list would most likely be 100% of people that you knew in person. So people that you talked to on the phone that you'd never met, you wouldn't remember. Yeah. People that you maybe even got a proposal from and they were a vendor and you talked to them, but you'd never met them, you wouldn't remember. Mm-hmm. The person you said hi to at the front desk, the person that maybe let you into the complex, if there's a security guard that said good morning, you remember those people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on the call was like, oh my God, that's so weird. We had no idea. And what he was trying to get across was, as a sales rep, you can call people all day long, but if you never meet them in person, you don't make the same depth of connection.
Yeah.
And you will be a lot easier to forget, right?
Yeah.
So
true.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I think virtual fatigue has really changed what people expect, right?
Yeah.
So what have you experienced in the last, I'd say, the first 2 years after COVID were pretty quiet, right? But yeah. Since 22 on, what are you experiencing in events and how it differs from from past?
Yeah, I think that how it differs from the past is a lot of times people would come to just get quote unquote educated, right? Yeah. They would come to listen to the speaker, listen to the next big thing or the ideas. And now that's all different. Now it's like, yeah, you could plan a speaker and you plan some conference. So people do have some learning, but you have to plan that networking. You have to plan that VIP dinner. You have to plan in now times that people can see each other face to face, where there's no other things going on, where it's just their one-on-one connections and conversations with each other.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. You're not really going to the conference necessarily to just pick up on the trends and see what's happening in your industry. You're going to meet people in your industry as well. And I think that's been reprioritized, right?
Yeah.
We see it more often. If you're an organization and you want to plan an event to maybe make a little bit of money or maybe just connect with audience more closely, how do you know what your audience wants? How do you know where to start?
Yeah. So I think that when you are connecting with an audience, you have to put out feelers. There's always feelers, right? For everything. And so that is where we use the most virtual. That's where we're virtual, is putting out the feelers in social posts or hyping up, would you do this? Take a quiz, or, you know, things like that, bringing people together on their virtual platforms, then so that we can start to formulate what people really want.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to veer us off our plan here a bit, because you have an event coming up that you are planning on behalf of your event planning business. Tell us about it. And how did you decide what to do?
So it's a really funny story, actually. That's not even supposed to be a pun. So we are actually doing a book retreat for women. And we have been finding that ladies just want to get together and they want to do more than just go for drinks or happy hour. And reading is huge right now, all of the different styles and genres. So we have decided to take one book, which we're calling Funny Story, which is called Funny Story by Emily Henry. And we are doing, it's called Blush Gathering. We're partnering with Blush Book Bundle. And we are pretty much saying, after that last page, the story doesn't have to end here. And so what we're doing is you sign up for the retreat and then you get the book to read ahead of time. And we are doing little quirky things throughout the book that are going to be at the, whether it's a wine tasting or whatever. But what we found was people are very interested in getting together with things that they like. Right. So there's no conference. There's no like big thing that they're learning. It's just that connectivity with one another. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun for us because we're all passionate readers on our team. Mm-hmm. And so it's been fun just to meet other people online who are like, oh my gosh, tell us when it is. We'll be there. It's just, we've already grown a community and it's
love it.
Wonderful. Yeah.
I love it. Well, did you know the Atlantic in their latest issue, their cover says reading is dead?
What? No.
I don't believe it. I really don't. I can't read enough. I can never read enough, right?
I know.
And I like the idea that it's not really necessarily related to what your business does. It's more of a business, of an event that you're throwing to make some profit, right? Bring in some cash and create a community.
Yes. So that's pretty much it.
How did you know that would be a good thing to do?
So it's pretty funny for this one, my staff. So I was like, oh, I don't know how, I don't see the path forward to making money, or I don't see this or that. So I said, okay, you know what? You guys run with it and we'll see what happens if it has legs. And then I was wrong. I was happily
I love that.
And it has legs and people were coming back to us. We have so many followers on Instagram now. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys were right. Great. I was totally wrong. You were right. And so, but the proof for me was once we started to dig in and find an audience that was interested.
Yeah. So what do you think, what is the biggest mistake planners make when they assume that they know their audience?
I think that the biggest mistake that planners make is that they don't target the research. So I think some of the things is for the book launch, for example, for this retreat, I didn't know what I didn't know. But sometimes I think that as a planner, you think you know. Right. And so instead of looking at the big picture and seeing what, quote unquote, give the people what they want, right? Instead of looking at what the people have said they wanted, we tend, and I do this too sometimes, we tend to do what we think is beneficial for the industry or the audience. And I think that that's the first mistake, because I know that our industry has shifted, and we need to look at what the key points are or what the key takeaways that audiences, that guests want.
Mm-hmm. So they had went to another event last weekend. And again, you talk about people don't necessarily want to just stand around with a cocktail anymore. Mm-hmm. And this one was on, believe it or not, a Saturday morning. You wouldn't expect people would want to come to an event on a Saturday. That's when we run our errands. That's when we're relaxing from the hard work week, et cetera. But what was really interesting, it was a deep conversation. Everybody loved it. And it was about, so you want to write a book. And she had five authors on a panel, and then you were directed to a table by something you picked up when you checked in. And then each table had a question. What's your story that needs to be told? What's keeping you from telling your story? Deep kinds of things. And I think there's a lot of room for that, no matter what type of company you are, to bring people together and talk about your industry and where the future of your industry is going, or individuals and helping them determine what they really want. A lot of different ways to have events, and it doesn't always have to be a trade show, right? Sometimes it can be an appreciation party, or when I was in sales 15 years ago, client appreciation parties were a big deal. You get a DJ, people dance, you give away prizes and all kinds of things, but there wasn't much that was deep. Now I think audiences expect deeper conversations, just my personal experience. So what if a company, ours, for example, what if we wanted to plan an event that makes a difference in the community, but also brings in money? How do you balance mission-driven goals with budgeting and profit and loss realities?
Yeah. I am a strong believer that if you're all working towards one mission and one goal, the money will come. Yeah. And so it's very, very easy to get bogged down by what will the sponsors buy and what will the audience come for and what all of these different what ifs. Instead, you get a committee together that says, okay, this is our mission and this is our goal. And then who from this committee knows whom, right? So who do you know that would sponsor this? Or what money is out there for the government that would sponsor this? Or what do we want to do here or there? And so I think that bringing people, like-minded people together to form a committee and then say, okay, this is our mission. I'm telling you, I know this sounds crazy, but 9 times out of 10, the money just comes.
If
there are like-minded people wanting to make a difference or start something or do whatever, the money, it's weird, it just comes. When everybody's passionate about what they're doing, whether it's a cause or a nonprofit or even a business, starting a business or doing a book retreat, like things just line up when everybody, when you're starting to put those ideas out into the universe. Things just fall into place.
I agree with you. And I want to give an example and maybe ask you how we could have ramped it up a little bit. One of our clients is a nonprofit that helps grieving children. And we did an event a couple of years ago at a brewery, and it was so cool because what we did with it is they have a summer grief camp. And each of the kids in the summer grief camp gets a little package of goodies when they get there. But what the event was for was it was painting rocks. And you know how everybody was really into rock painting for a while, right? And I think some people still are. And we provided the rocks. We provided the paint markers. The brewery had an outdoor space with picnic tables. And they allowed us to, we had a ticket price for the door. They allowed us to sell these wooden tokens for two different types of beer that they brewed. And we were able to take that money in 100%. So they basically gave us the beer, and the coins we sold we were able to exchange for the cost of the drink, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a nice little combination of people paying to participate a small amount and the actual venue committing to assisting the nonprofit as well. And I guess they do this all the time. They do it for a lot of different nonprofits. Those are tiny little events. They made probably $2,500, but that sends two kids to camp because right. their grief camp is a no charge. So that sends two kids to camp, well worth the effort. And they keep doing these smaller events. Now, how could you blow something like that out of the water, make it bigger?
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
So there's a lot of ways that you can do that. As a nonprofit, I sometimes see that occasionally there's this mindset that let's do this and make $2,500, which I think is very important. Yeah. But I think that if you think bigger, bigger will happen. Mm-hmm. As a nonprofit, you have a board and mm-hmm. you have a board of people who have probably a lot of talents and a lot of gifts or are in the corporate sector or different options, right? So mm-hmm. maybe take someone from your board and say, hey, we want to do a meet and greet with you. People don't usually get to meet you. Maybe the community or people around want to meet this board member that doesn't mm-hmm. usually get out in the community. And then you charge a bigger ticket. You have a dinner where you find somebody similar to a brewery, but on a little bit bigger scale, who would give you an at-cost dinner or donate the dinner for you. Mm-hmm. And then you charge more. Right. So it's just, I think it's a mindset. There's just so much that we don't know. And mm-hmm. and there's times when if you think bigger and if you put your mind to something, the sky's the limit. And I think that sometimes we forget that. And then,
yeah.
And we just accept the things that are easily achievable.
And I call that kind of, I hate to say this, it sounds so denigrating, but bake sale fundraising.
Yeah.
Bake sale fundraising is never going to get you those big numbers.
Big numbers, right.
But and on the similar note, I had heard of another agency. I can't recall what the organization was, but they were having monthly events where they would invite 12 people to come to a dinner and they would talk about death and deep conversations about death. Mm-hmm. Not just, oh, people die and we're sad, but really dig into your own feelings about mortality. It was really successful. They had a waiting list for people who wanted to go to these events mm-hmm. because they were so deep and meaty and their conversations we aren't always allowed to have. Yeah. And of course, the people that were invited to those were people who had lots of funding, who upper echelon donation potential, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when you have a mission, like you said, when we were talking on our prep call, you talked about why an event should have a mission. And sometimes a pie in the sky mission might be the best way to go, right?
Right.
How does a mission change how you market or staff an event? And how do you create a mission for an event?
Yeah. So I believe that when you have a mission statement and everybody's running towards the same goal, mm-hmm. it makes everything easier. It makes it easier to sell. It makes it easier. People want to be on board. They want to be guests. It makes it easier for all the moving parts, the staff, the speakers, mm-hmm. the guest attendees. When there's a mission statement, everybody's flowing in the same direction. Mm-hmm. There's not this whole need to, I'm over here selling, but I'm not connecting with marketing over here. And I'm not, you're all in your own silo. Whereas if you have a mission statement and you're all remembering the mission statement, and that's flowing through everything you're doing for an event, the event becomes succinct. And then it is definitely more successful because you are all talking the same language and it's getting out there into the wild with mm-hmm. all of the same parts. And so that makes it so much easier. It's easier to sell. It's easier to attend. You know what you're getting. Mm. I think that having a mission statement is huge. It's not an easy feat, right? You can chat GPT it or whatever, but at the end of the day, it is very hard to just have a two-sentence mission statement. And that's where you have your board or your committees or mm-hmm. the people that, you know, that are on your staff figure out so that way it makes sense to everybody, every part of the company or every part of the nonprofit, whether you're marketing or social or sponsorship, you know.
Can you give me an example of a event mission statement?
So a mission statement for a corporate event mission statement is creating meaningful experiences that inspire connection, spark innovation, and deliver measurable values for every attendee, partner, and stakeholder through content or through experience, whatever you're doing at the conference, then you would fill in that blank, right?
Got it.
And things can change a little bit, whether it's networking event or client appreciation. It's very similar. Celebrating our clients to create memorable experiences that show our gratitude. Or so you always just have to think through, what are we trying to achieve from what? That's the first thought. Is it networking? Is it a leadership conference? Is it client appreciation? Mm-hmm. That's you have to answer, but that's an easy answer, right? You know what you're going after when you are thinking about a mission statement. And then from there, you boil it down on, okay, these are the talking points or the few points.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming your mission is going to impact what actually happens at your event, like what speakers you would select, right?
Yes.
So speaking of speakers, it's so hard sometimes to figure out who to invite to speak. Sometimes you want local names, sometimes you want a big draw. You shared some different speakers bureau links with a couple of us a few weeks ago, and I noticed that all these celebrities are in those speaker bureaus. How do you know who to invite to speak at an event, or if you should even have speakers?
Yeah, it goes back to this whole mission statement, and it depends on what kind of event you want to have. But if you want a big conference you want to attract 300 to 500 people, that is what's going to put, that's going to be what they're going to allow you to put, they're going to allow you to put them on social media, which is going to attract the eyes and the resends, the reshares. So that's one mission. Sometimes you don't want that because you want it to be very intimate. You want it to sell out at 100 people. You want it to be about the content or what's happening within the industry or what's happening within your community. So it just depends. It filters back to that mission statement. At the end of the day, though, it really just depends on what you want and is the budget worth the trade-off. Mm-hmm. I would love to say yes, but there are times when it's not. It's just not worth it because people are so saturated with all the ways to meet people. And so even big names, it's just hard because the industry right now is moving towards that. All collectively said, work with my agency, you know? And so you can't get around it. 20 years ago when I started this or whatever, when I was in my career, you could know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody and then get in, right? And then you all of a sudden have a big name at your event. And all you had to do was give an X amount of money to their nonprofit or let everybody know that you paid them through a donation to blah, blah, blah. But now it's not like that. Now it's like, oh, I'm going to stop you right there. Here's his speaker bureau, you know? And
Right. It's a little harder.
Yeah. So it's a little harder and easier, obviously, because you just Google them and then you talk with their speaker bureau. But yeah, that's where it's at right now.
Yeah. I always find too that in business events that I want to, the subject matter is so important. What are we talking about? What am I going to pick up? What kind of people are going to be there? Who's the keynote or what are they talking about as it relates to your attendees and your panel speakers? Right. Like what is it that's in, what do they get out of it and make sure that that's a really strong experience so that they leave with a really great feeling about your organization, right?
Correct.
What are the benefits of sometimes a company, again, talking about us, if we're a small business, what are the benefits of a free event versus a ticketed event?
Yeah, I'm a strong component that even if you just do a ticket for $25, you should always put a value to a ticket. Mm-hmm. And here's why, because people will always sign up as a, oh, I could maybe go to that if it's free. You will get, you're one of the
worst.
I'll go for free. It's no big deal. And then you don't go. And then something comes up and you're like, well, I didn't spend any money on that. So this came up instead and I'm just going to go here. And then of course, and this is just the way of the world. You don't cancel your reservation, right? So as an event planner, I'll just say that is very annoying because you're trying to gauge how many people aren't going to show for this free ticket, how much food you really need, what are you going to do? So I always recommend to my clients, even if it's just $25, somebody who invests even just a small amount of money into the ticket will show up. And then you also know they're committed. And then if they still don't show, even though they paid $25, at least you have that $25 to put towards something that they didn't show up for, that you gave them a head count in the mix of whatever. Right. I don't know that there's a free versus ticketed in my world, but I understand the question.
Right.
Now, a ticketed event, you have to make sure that you are covering your costs for a ticket, right? So if you are doing a big gala or something, you want to make sure that it's a $300, $500 ticket to cover everything so that your nonprofit makes money, or that you're covering your costs or making a profit in your ROI for those big conferences. But if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to put on a free event, just charge $20 because then you'll know exactly who's in the room, who's coming, and who's committed.
I like it. Okay, so you mentioned galas. I've heard two things. I've heard galas are done, and I have heard galas are back. Are galas still a thing? There was an organization that I belong to that just had a black tie event on the water. So they had all these outside receptions and all that. And I could not face the thought of putting on a really fancy dress in the heat of July and standing outside. It was literally 90 degrees. And we're also having the problem with the pollution, with the smoke from Canada, right?
It's your air quality number.
But are galas done or are galas back?
So galas, I would say that there's now galas with a twist, if that makes sense. So people aren't into the dressing up scene anymore. Yeah. It's just not something that people are, ooh, I have to do this.
Yeah.
And so there are gala-esque things out there. There's big ticket items with a DJ and all of these experientials and things maybe on the water, but they're always coming up with unique ways to dress, right?
Yes.
Cocktail casual. Please come in your cocktail casual, or please come in your shabby chic. And sometimes people are like, what the heck is shabby chic? Tell me, do I wear jeans? Do I not wear jeans? What do I wear? But people are coming up with these savvy ways to have a gala where all the components of a gala are there, but not the dress code. The dress code's totally out. Now it's casual, cocktail casual is capris and a really nice blouse or something. So they're going away from those $400 sparkly floor length dresses to something fun, but everything you're still paying and everything you're receiving is still similar to a gala.
Got it.
Here, but not, I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite events recently in the last year was a celebrity lip sync battle.
Oh my gosh, how funny.
And they literally solicit news anchors and our local celebrities, business owners. There was a CEO of one of the big car dealers and football alumni, all kinds of people. And they lip sync and they put on, it's a contest. So they put on the biggest show. And it's hilarious. They have a beautiful silent auction ahead of time. Then they have a live auction afterwards. And this event raised $750,000.
Wow.
Which is amazing. They raised almost double what they did the year before this year, this past year. And I was shocked because you really think that the organizations aren't as closely tied to their audiences because everything's virtual. Not true with this particular organization. They are so connected that if you're connected to your audience, they will support you. And that's the part that when you have a live event, right? They will support you. They will show up. So I think that's a lot of what we wanted to cover today. Are there any event marketing moves that people overlook that you'd like to mention here?
Yeah, I think that sometimes, to be honest, I think that sometimes people, everybody thinks they could just throw an event.
Yeah.
And I think that some of the marketing moves is your event will be more successful if you align yourself with a professional. And it doesn't have to be me. I'm just saying, like, align yourself with a professional who kind of knows the industry and what you're doing, because I find that a lot of people really think if we buy some food and put together a room, people will come, and they just won't. It's not the same.
That's not how it works anymore.
No, it's not how it works anymore. People want to be awed, and they want to, like you said, to your point, they want to know what they're receiving. They want to know they're going to walk away with something that they obtained from your event that day, and that the money they paid was worth the value.
Right. That it's worth it to do, to attend, to show up, to whatever it is that you need to do to be a part of the event, right?
Yes.
I was just going to add that I think hiring a professional is how you're going to know what people respond to, know how to select the right angle, the right mission, the right concept, the right creative ideas that you as a business owner or a fundraiser may not have ever thought of the ideas that an event planner will bring that are so much bigger than you imagined, right? And to be able to make those happen in a way that's really exquisite instead of you trying to run after what needs to be done and never quite catching up and then failing, right?
Yes.
I think a lot of events fail because people don't get the right people in the room for the planning.
Yeah.
Just my thought, but so tell me this, Nicole, how can people find you and book you, and where would you like them to be in touch?
Yeah, well, I am on LinkedIn. Feel free to find me there, or you can go to www.gatherpoint.com and you can reach out that way as well.
And is that Gatherpoint with an E at the end?
It is with an E.
All right.
Like a
good
little play on my last name. So
I love that. So thank you so much for being here, Nicole. I really appreciate it. And if you're joining us and you're watching on YouTube, please do me a favor, like and subscribe. Help us spread the word. Help us get this helpful, useful marketing information out there. And we will be back in a couple weeks with another episode. Thanks so much.